Betsy Ann Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media. Still the best voices of America you will hear on the internet today and yesterday. And yesterday, almost 2 years ago, Thomas, pain in the ass of the globalists, you were telling people the very thing that's now coming out with these disclosures. And the disclosure I'm talking about just recently shows that Hildebeest herself was the Russian agent that she sent the FBI on a witch hunt for. It's all true. You were right.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, to be right all the time, but we're getting used to it. If people had read WikiLeaks, then they would have had to wait for Senator Grassley to demand that Michael Horowitz's IG report give to the Senate and also particularly to the Homeland Security Committee, which was looking at the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden involvement in Ukraine, in Russia. And what happened was, because of the Ukrainian interference, because in the election, and because of the Russian narrative, of course, they had to investigate that. And what popped up? Oh, that Hunter Biden was paid $3.5 million by the mayor of the, by the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow. I mean, hello? And what was it paid for? Corrupt things. And that is the tip of the iceberg, like Trump pointed out in the debates last night, $1.5 billion from China for military contracts and also for car contracts. So here's Hunter Biden getting $1.5 million and Joe saying he doesn't know anything about it. Well, folks, all you had to do was either read WikiLeaks when it came out, because Julian Assange said when he releases the WikiLeaks about Hillary Clinton, it will be the end of her campaign. Well, it wasn't. And the reason why is because Hillary knew that it was coming, because she had already known back in spring of 2015 that the DNC had not been hacked, but that it had people stealing things from the server. And so they called in at that time Dmitry Alperovich, who planted the very Russian footprints in April, that then again, when they called him back in December, he said he found there and that it had been there for a while. Well, he placed it there. And this is all in WikiLeaks. But see, people won't read WikiLeaks and they won't take it seriously because Hillary said, oh, it came from a bad source. I'm sorry. Had they paid any attention to it, anybody, and we were the only ones out in the wilderness yelling about this, we clearly pointed out that in the WikiLeaks, it showed in the DNC server, there was the oppositional research against Trump. I read it all. They couldn't find anything. But they also did, but it did state that the lies of the Republicans who came forward and said they started the oppositional research with Fusion GPS, that's a lie, because it's right there in the documents. And they paid, you know, as much as $12 million to Perkins Coie to do that. But also in there was an oppositional research file on Hillary Clinton that said her biggest problem was her Uranium-1 connection to Russia, that her connection to Russia was so bad with Skolkovo and with the Obama, basically the emoluments that she got as a Secretary of State, that she was dead in the water. So what did they do? And we told you this. It says it right there. They called together. James Comey literally came forward, and this was out in the press. That Comey literally said he would start an attack against Trump. And John McCain got in by January. And Henry Koehner was his agent working on that. And then Daniel Jones went out and got some real Russians to get involved. And then trying to blame it on Igor Danchenko is completely nuts. The Russia dossier was given as nothing more than a conversation over beers with the only Russian, well, the only real Russian. There were three Russians mentioned in the Mueller report, but all of them haven't come out. But recently, they tried to throw us that as a bone, saying, no, there really was a Russian. No, there was no Russian. Not only that, when John Brennan received a communication that stated, and now we have this in writing, that Hillary Clinton had started a disinformation campaign against Trump, acting as if she were Russians, and that this was, in fact, counterintelligence Russian information that then was passed on to the FBI, the DOJ, the State Department, the White House, the CIA. They all got it. They all knew that it was fake. Now we have John Brennan literally saying, I know it's fake, but I'm still going ahead with it. And he started Crossfire Hurricane. And Peter Strzok then came out of the CIA and started working with the FBI. And he was there for the setup of Flynn. It's now come out in these documents that, and a lot more, by the way, a lot more. It's a lot more than they're saying. We only have the tip of the iceberg of what's been revealed. Devin Nunes demands to have a full report on this to the Gang of Eight, which is the security groups in the Senate and the House. And it is illegal for him not to have been informed of this. This was things that Richard Grenell found out that he released. And now, of course, John Ratcliffe has basically just said, well, of course you can have it, Senator Grassley, because you requested it. It's part of your investigation, which is ongoing, and it was part of the Homeland Security investigation on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, which I could go into in infinite detail if you wanted.
No, I don't, because I want to remind everybody what it was like to be on the ground during those times, because we had been doing these citizen intelligence reports before Trump had announced his candidacy. And so we had done our research and kind of was familiar with the thing that was called the swamp before it was really called the swamp. And when we saw President Trump come down that escalator with the beautiful and very smart Melania Trump and announce his candidacy, we were looking at each other going, oh my gosh, those intelligence agencies are not going to be helping him at all. We've got to get in there and do what we can as citizens to research. And we have every single day we get up and do our research to do what we can to get the truth out. And what happened was we began to hear this murmuring, this background noise about Russians and the Russians were involved. And the WikiLeaks was coming out at the time. And of course, Douglas was reading the WikiLeaks themselves and saying, this is so damning. But we couldn't understand why the media wasn't pushing it out and what was really behind this. So what we did is we started reading articles and doing the research to find out who was involved over there at the DNC. And a company name, I remember that day. Don't you remember it, Douglas? And I'm reading this article and I go, what is this company CrowdStrike? You know, that sounds like an entrepreneur name for a company. A couple of guys get together and they make this thing called CrowdStrike. And you said, okay, well, check it out. Go look at their board of directors. And I'm like, well, what am I looking for? And you said, well, look for the Russians. And so I said, okay, we'll look for the Russians. And then, of course, the name came up. I said, how about Dmitry Alperovich? And you said, bingo, that's him. And we followed that trail. And sure enough, it led to all the unraveling that we have done to the point that our videos that we did 2 years ago are now being recommended by YouTube. They think they're harmless, but actually it gives you what's unfolding today right there with Devin Nunes and DNI Ratcliffe.
Yes, it was exciting because we were, in those days, I yelled a lot. Because I was so upset.
You still do.
Do I still yell a lot? Well, I'm sorry. I have a good reason to yell. But also coming out of this report, and this is some of the most damnable stuff that we've seen, but we also reported on this when it happened. Mad Dog Mattis and Dan Coats were involved in a hard coup. And they literally have documents now where they have communicated with each other saying, it looks like we're going to have to take action against the president. Hard action, I think they called it. Well, that's when Rosenstein got in on it and said, well, let's get him for the 25th Amendment. Let's get him kicked out for being crazy. Let's see if we can turn Mike Pence against him because we're going to need the vice president's vote if we're going to do this. And then Rosenstein said, well, let's get some dirt on him. So what did he do? Just like Comey. When Comey went to give briefings to Trump, it was actually a counterintelligence spy operation on a sitting president. Same thing with Rosenstein, which means Andrew McCabe and Comey and Christopher Wray, they are all in on it. They can't get out of it. And so we had said Dan Coats had one chance. Trump gave him one chance and he blew it. And that's why he had to leave.
And Trump is giving Bill Barr a chance. And it looks like Bill Barr is blowing it too. Trump has given all of these people an opportunity to stand up and be patriots and not be traitors. But we're finding one after another, they are traitors. And what they all have in common so far is that they are operatives out of something called the Senior Executive Services.
And Bruce Anelli or Bruce being at the DOJ and being one of the SES 500, still isn't fired for his counter-espionage, basically treason, sedition, and insurrection. Because he was working with Christopher Steele when he was told not to. He was secretly passing the installments through Victoria Nuland and the State Department, through the guy who just came out today saying that Mueller and Andrew Weissman, his top head lawyer henchman, the man, Andrew Weissman, the lawyer who has had more cases overturned on him than any other lawyer I've ever heard of. Why? Because he always used illegal methods to get evidence that to win his case, and then the state or the feds would have to then support, like he did with Trump. He went into the Trump transition team records and stole them. He went into Michael Cohen's personal records with client attorney privilege. He stole them. So Andrew Weissman came out and now is saying that, and this, they're getting nervous because some of the things that are being revealed are unredacted notes, footnotes in the Mueller report. And so Andrew Weissman has come out in his book and said that they didn't do enough to investigate Trump and that Mueller really just didn't do enough. So Mueller has come out and said, no, we did everything that we were supposed to do. No, they both were working on the coup. And they are both as guilty as can be. But Mueller tried to keep his hands out of it by not even looking at anything that was being done so that later he could testify that when he was asked, believe it or not, Mueller was asked, Robert Mueller was asked, well, what did you find out about Fusion GPS? And he said, that is not within my purview of the investigation. So the company that paid for the fake Russian hacking, which we now have multiple pieces of evidence showing that John Brennan, Comey, Clapper, they all knew that the Russian dossier was created by Hillary Clinton, the DNC, John Podesta, George Soros, you know, the whole gang. And with Dmitry Alperovich's help through a company called CrowdStrike, who is a Russian. He was a Russian hacker who was put in jail by the FBI and then came out. And now he's the number one person that Obama used for all 8 years to do all cyber warfare, corporate or otherwise. And so that's the only person that ever supposedly looked at the DNC server. And then what did he do? He put his Falcon spying gear on the DNC server openly, says he did. Also Hillary's emails, which is illegal, of course. Why is a spy, a criminal, allowed to put a spy device called Falcon on Hillary Clinton's devices? Well, we already know that Hillary's 370,000 emails that CC copies were sent to China. And so everybody was getting that. Anybody who's doing pay for play had access to Hillary Clinton's emails, which unfortunately then meant also the DNC, which then unfortunately also meant Podesta's emails also, where you can see the real crimes. Look at Podesta's emails. That's unbelievable treachery and sedition.
I could feel people at the other end listening going, they are so sick and tired of this, so sick and tired. You see the crimes being committed. We see the evidence. I mean, we see it. This is a court of public opinion, and it couldn't be more obvious that these people are guilty of treason and espionage. And then we're frustrated because, of course, we have to go through the trials. They all deserve their trials. But let's take a look at Mueller. Mueller was formerly a military guy. Why is not he being arrested immediately, going through a military tribunal, and he's off this planet? I mean, we need to see some action. And I want to see Bill Barr roll up. I don't care if it is 2 days, 2 hours before the election. Bill, the clock is ticking, and you need to make some major arrests.
Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because the investigation clearly says that the Bidens did a lot of things wrong. And what they had to do was look into a company called Blue Star Strategies. That was Biden's consulting firm that if you wanted pay for play, you had to go through them. And if you went through them, then some Biden family member had to be part of the deal. So Blue Star Strategies was doing deals with the Ukrainians through Burisma, deals with the Chinese through Rosemont Seneca and Bahari Limited. They changed it all up. I mean, Joe Biden was given a $900,000 consulting fee for what he did for Burisma. Wait a second. what he did for Burisma is threaten the Ukrainians that if they didn't get rid of the guy investigating Burisma, that $1.5 billion would not come to them that had been promised. So what you have here is Joe Biden doing the quid pro quo, which then certainly did endanger lives in Ukraine. And what happened was it was the support of the corrupt oligarchs, which are really nothing more than Ukrainians doing deals with, in this case, mostly Republicans. But there was one, Democrats, demon rats. There was one Republican involved, though. He sent his best man, Kofor Black, from Bain Capital, and he was on the same Burisma board. And they, how come John Kerry's son, Christopher Hines, isn't being noted? They always say, and Devin Archer, the friend only of Hunter Biden. No, that was Christopher Hines's best friend. And they created those groups. And Hunter Biden is an idiot. So he was just paid to be the person who would go whisper to his dad's ear, this is what they want you to do. And of course, Joe Biden, being, you know, having dementia, would basically just do what he was told. It was kind of like Joe Biden denying in the debate last night that he wasn't there in the office with Obama and the rest of them, where Susan Rice said that, and we actually have documents where it literally stated in the notes of one of the attendants that Joe Biden recommended the Logan Act to go after Michael Flynn. In other words, the Crossfire Razor, because there's Crossfire Hurricane going after Trump, Crossfire Razor going after Flynn, completely controlled by Obama and the White House, and Joe Biden was there on every step of the way. And that is what is now seen. So what you're going to see is, in the end, what we predicted. You're going to see Clapper, Comey, and Brennan all saying, no, we were doing what we were told by the White House. We were just following orders. But that's after two of them have become pundits and contributing idiots on national mainstream media networks. And so basically, with what is going down, I would suspect that since Comey is now caught with his pants down, and he testified yesterday, all the same lies, so he's going to stick with his last set of lies. But it doesn't matter, because now we have the evidence against him. So all the lies of these people were all a waste of time. And in my opinion, now that Comey has been completely called out as a liar, he too, like Clapper and Brennan, should get a position as a pundit on some mainstream media. A guy who was the biggest criminal in this whole coup, he tried 28 different times and 28 different things to take down Trump. And we can go into all of that. But what is the main point here is that there's going to be much, much more that comes out, because there were recommendations for investigations from the Homeland Security Committee. And some of this information was in there. And some of it also went to Grassley's committee. And so this is not over. And Nunes is mad. I've never seen Devin Nunes mad. He was mad on the Cat Report video today.
Our audience should know that it's only going to get worse. There's just more information coming out, because these people did commit treason. It isn't some idea of a conspiracy theory. It happened, and there's just, every time more stuff comes out, it's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And you're going to see that the players go all the way over to the United Kingdom. They have their own swamp. Their swamp is attached to ours. I mean, we're looking at this woman, Rona Fairhead, who is sitting on the Oracle board, plus she works for the Queen. I mean, it's a mess. And then what is Larry Ellison doing? Is he telling Trump any of this? I know you and Michael are going to do a great update on that for us. But for a minute, I want to go to the debates last night. I know you have a lot to say about that. People have been calling in all day wanting to know your opinion. So we want to hear it. But you mentioned something about the mainstream media. And I do want to say, after that performance with Chris Wallace, if there is any doubt in anybody's mind that Fox News is the enemy of the people. It is a propaganda corporate station, and they have no interest in preserving America the way patriots do. Folks, you got to cut off the TV and you've got to cut off Fox News. You got to show them who's boss. We're the boss. The patriots are the boss. Some of you are going to go, oh, but I like Tucker Carlson. And what about Lou Dobbs? Hey, too bad they work for the enemy. It was their choice. We've got to cut Fox off at the knees. So stop turning them on. OANN does a great job.
Oh, absolutely. What's her name? Chanel Rion or whatever.
And they've got a great cast. So folks, just, I know it's hard, but just turn off Fox and make sure your downline does the same. Now let's get back to the debates. What did you have to say to all those friends and folks that called in today?
Well, first off, Fox, was running it live stream. And I guess just got a huge amount of hits. And then I heard, I didn't check into it, that only one other station, I think it was ABC, ran it. So why did they do that? Because they didn't want witnesses to what was supposed to happen. And that did not happen. And the reason it didn't happen is because Joe Dementia Biden, who obviously has had congestive heart failure, I mean, that is so obvious. Look at him. He's got no color to his skin. He's listless. He can barely take steps one in front of the next. He has dementia that is absolutely astounding. And we saw it in the evidence last night. He was wired. He had at least two wires on and perhaps a third one. And now, what were those wires? One of the wires was right on his left, between his wrist and his arm, on the pulse point, the very pulse point that you put a sensor when you really need to have a super heart monitor on somebody. So they were monitoring his heart because they anticipated that Trump was going to interrupt him and make him mad. And then he'd turn around and call Trump, you know, names, which he did. What I was expecting was that good old Joe Biden, whenever he got mad, that means, in my opinion, that he was on great sedatives, lots of sedatives. Because anytime you make Joe mad and point out that he's got dementia, he threatens you to a fight, push-ups, or go outside for a fist fight or a beating behind the barn. Okay, this is where it always goes. So that's what Trump was trying to do. He was trying to set him off. And the moment, let's remember, who started the interrupting? That was Joe Biden. And what did he interrupt with? The very things that a Pelosi or a Schumer or a Nadler or a Schiff, they do always when they have opposition. They talk over them and try to, when the person says truth, then they say, that's not true. That's been disproved. 1,000,000,000. What did he say? 1,000,000 scientists believe in climate science, believe in the climate accords of Paris, and they don't work for Trump. So that's the reason that the ones who work for Trump are telling untruths about climate science. This is the type of nonsense that is simply deflecting and used to work. It's called post-truth politics or falsehood politics. So that's what Joe is. So he has a narrative, and he couldn't remember it, obviously. And as I had predicted before the debate, that any time that Joe was going to quote a statistic, it would be wrong, unless he had an earphone and someone was giving him those statistics, because he can't remember from the time he comes out from behind the curtain to the podium what his name is, let alone the statistics that he'd need to beat Trump, who is a statistics man and has been working the statistics for 4 years, where Joe, who claimed during the debate that he's the one who pulled the Obama economy up from a recession. Well, it didn't happen, Joe. So if you're the one that's claiming responsibility, then you should be claiming the disaster of the 8 years of the Obama administration. He claimed that he was in charge of foreign policy. He claimed he was in charge of all these things that were a big success. Fact checkers looked at it. No. Almost everything Joe said was a lie, because that's what demon rats do. So I believe he had a heart monitor on him, because I could see the sensor right on top of his pulse point on the left wrist, under the left wrist. So he also had a wire on the right side, and you could see it popped out a couple of times. So why, if he had a heart monitor, which would have been wireless, and to have such a good sensor on the heart, on that pulse point, they must have really been worried. So they were probably monitoring his heart in a few places. Now, that is interesting. Why would they do that? Why would it matter? Here's why it would have mattered. He had one of those little tiny wireless hearing aid-like earphones in. And they are wireless, but they may require a booster. And so he, whenever he was given his 2 minute period to speak uninterrupted, it sounded like he was reading, didn't it? And it sounded like he went into a zombie mode, and it sounded good. for his normal lying narrative, but way better than anything he said in his basement where he gaffes on everything and can't finish the day. His day ended, you know, before noon because of his congestive heart failure. In my opinion, congestive heart failure with dementia, and or he may also have at least the onset of Alzheimer's. You can tell that because he's always disoriented in space. If you disrupt his day in any way or disrupt anything he's doing, he becomes extremely angry and confused and doesn't even know what he's talking about at that point. Well, these are all the signs of the illnesses that they were monitoring during this, as well as probably speaking to him. Well, here's why I say they were monitoring him. It wasn't supposed to go that way. But Trump knew that he had to push him because this was a street fight. This wasn't a debate. This was a street fight because Joe can do nothing more than sling rocks and arrows, casting aspersions, lies, demon-filled lies, and saying them over and over again and thinking that that convinces people. It used to in the old days. It doesn't anymore because why? We can check the facts ourselves. We don't need fact checkers. So Joe was supposed to get so upset at one point, or if Joe got so upset at one point, which is, I'm surprised it didn't happen, which makes me think that Joe must have been on some very strong barbiturates. But because Joe did not get angry, and Joe gets angry at everything, I'm guessing that the heart monitor was there because they expected him to have a stroke or a heart attack. And then that would have made Harris the new presidential candidate, which is what is going to happen anyway, folks. So they were going to actually, I'm sorry to have to say it, let Joe die, or at least have a heart attack, or at least claim that Joe had a heart attack because Trump was so mean to him.
Well, then they would blame it on Trump if he had a heart attack right there. Hey, this is a fight. This is not just a, you know, boys over coffee thing. We're talking about trillions of dollars are at stake here. This is the leader of the patriots around the world, because there are patriots beyond the American borders. And our leader is Donald Trump. And then we have the globalists. And that is the Pilgrim Society, the Privy Council, the Crown Agents, the Queen, China, the Pope. Those are the globalists. And their leader is apparently Joe Biden. We have to see this for what it is. So Trump should have just gone over there and just hit the shit out of him.
Trump figured he'd only have this one chance. I'm sure, because he's smart, knew that they would do what they have done, which is, oh, you were so mean and you told so many lies, Mr. Trump, President Trump, that we can't have a second debate with you. Because they'd already said they weren't going to have a first debate. And during this first debate, they were basically letting Joe put his life on the line and get another stroke, because, you know, that aneurysm in his head, that wasn't an aneurysm, that was a stroke. And where did it affect? Over his left temporal lobe in the Broca-Wernicke area of speech, memory, and also the spatial recognition. So you can see all of these things, because Joe, last night, he basically praised Allah, okay? He called the president a clown, said he was the worst president in history, called him a liar, the biggest liar ever. Everything is out of his mouth is a lie. Even though Joe, everything out of his mouth and every one of his aspersions that he cast was a horrifying lie that you didn't have to fact check because you knew that it was a lie. So it was beautiful. Trump went out there, and when he saw the direction Chris Wallace was going to go, when he saw the direction that Joe's dementia couldn't even allow Joe to shut his friggin' mouth during Trump's first opening 2-minute remark, it went to hell because of Joe, but they didn't put the camera on Joe. When Joe was making the first interrupting remarks, there was no camera on him. Most of the time, the camera wasn't on Joe when he was doing those things, because Joe was adjusting things, like the things on his arm and on his wrist, and his, you know, he was adjusting the wire in his coat. You can see it. So they turned away from him so that he could do what he needed to do. And at one point, I was watching him where they actually had the camera on him, which they weren't supposed to, obviously, because he was kind of mouthing something like he was listening to somebody. And then he wrote down 3 statistics. And then right after that, kind of out of place, he quotes those three statistics as the only statistics he quoted in the entire debate. And it looked to me as if someone had told him to write it down, because his head was down, his mouth was moving, and he was writing it down. And then he looked up and he delivered it. And then you could see a little smile on his face, like, you see, I can do this. Now, the problem is that if Hillary had been elected, we would be in a war with Syria, with Iraq, with Afghanistan, with Iran, with North Korea, and the United Nations would have taken over most everything else, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank. Hillary would have sold us out. If Biden gets elected, as soon as he dies, and it won't be long if he got elected, because they'd probably kill him because he can't do anything, and they'd probably just put him to sleep, you know, put him out to pasture. And so then you're going to have Kamala Harris. Who runs those people? The same people who run Hillary: George Soros and the gang, John Podesta and the gang. So we are seeing that Trump had to go out and stomp on the demon rats, like Black Lives Matter and Antifa has been treating the city of Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, and now numerous other places. Someone had to stand up and meet their aggression with a superior force. And that's what Trump did. Now, people don't like that. Too bad. Trump gained people last night and Biden lost people, because the people who were watching it, here's what I heard. The young people who've been brainwashed into this, guess what they thought? They thought it was so boring that their candidate, Joe Biden, wasn't worth watching the rest of the debate for, so they turned it off. Joe Biden lost his supporters.
I thought what was brilliant is that Trump was able to get Joe to take the extreme left and put it way over there, and Joe Biden stepped away from that. He stepped away from the Green New Deal, and you could see that Trump was playing the Democrats against each other. I think it'll work, because if you're AOC in that group, you may not go for Joe. You may just sit out the election.
Well, the moment of climax when Trump won was when he had forced the issue of making Joe state whether or not he would be for any law enforcement. And if anybody from any law enforcement agency had endorsed him, and he said, of course they have. I just don't have time now to tell you one of them. Okay. At that point, what did Trump start yelling? And then he yelled it three or four other times when he had actually put, it was the death knell of that debate. And that was when he said, you've just lost the left. So when he said that he didn't support the Green New Deal, when he actually does on his site, he literally in words says he supports the Green New Deal, he lost the left, because they're going to hear that and go nuts. When they heard some of the other things that he said, for instance, he said, believe it or not, for the first time ever, Joe Biden came out and told the biggest lie of the night, which was that he was for law enforcement. He has been against law enforcement. He's been for defunding them. But then what did he say? I am for law enforcement, but I am for there's good cops and there's some bad cops, and we have to restructure the way that law enforcement works, and we have to send out social workers and psychologists and psychiatrists out on 911 calls to tell the policeman whether he can shoot back at somebody shooting him. Those social workers, psychiatrists, and psychologists would be dead on the first night, because criminals know who you can take advantage of. There is no way you're going to talk down George Floyd, who was on a lethal dose at the time of fentanyl, as well as many other drugs and alcohol. You're not going to talk anybody down when they are resisting arrest, Joe. So your statement was you don't really support law enforcement, and you would not state that you do not support Black Lives Matter. And then you were so stupid that you quoted Christopher Wray, who's going to get fired because he made the following statement. Christopher Wray did make a stupid statement, not like Biden's made it, but he did state that basically Antifa is an idea. It's an ideology. Yes, he said that, but he did not say there wasn't an organization on the street burning and looting and killing. And so, Christopher Wray will be fired because of that remark he made not long ago to the Congress during a testimony. And basically, Joe Biden lost everybody in the suburbs when he would not say that Black Lives Matter and Antifa have gone too far with their violence. And so you heard Trump three or four times say, he just lost the left. He just lost he just lost AOC and the gang. He just lost the suburbs. He just lost every woman in the suburb. The left. He lost the left last night because Joe Biden can't remember what lie to tell when. And that's the problem of being a liar. Liars can't remember all the lies they told and who they told it to. So all they can do is continue to lie, like Hillary Clinton. That woman couldn't speak the truth if her life depended upon it. And Joe Biden wouldn't know the truth if his dementia was even not acting up that day.
Okay, enough about the debate. I want to know, what do you think? What's in your crystal ball from now through the election, through November 3rd? What do you see coming up that we need to be paying attention to?
This is the full frontal attack of everything they have from the past and in the future. Remember, they've had the Trump fake tax reports. Those are fake. Everyone knows those are fake. You want the real ones? Go to the national, where he told you to go, go to the federal site, and you can see all of his taxes and all of his ownings there. And they're the ones, the federal government, when he gave him all the information, which he's already done, stated that he was worth $10 billion. Trump never stated he was worth $10 billion. He was surprised he was worth that much. And if you got $10 billion, guess what? You have gains and losses in 1 year, usually to the point that you don't pay any taxes because you've had such losses at the same time.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about that, because they talked about how much taxes he paid. You know, let's go back to Hunter Biden, all that money that he got from the Ukraine. Did he file in his tax returns that he got that money? Because my understanding is the IRS wants their cut, whether you got it legally or illegally. So let's talk about how much taxes the Bidens have paid from all these ill-gotten gains.
Well, we know that because Hunter Cocaine Biden, remember, he is not just a cocaine addict. He's a freebaser. Anyone who freebases becomes insane if you do it long enough. And he has tons of money, so he did it long enough. And his whore, that is his new baby's mama, got the court to demand that he turn in his records. So we know his records, and we know they're all lies, and they do not even don't reflect the money that he made in Ukraine or China or from Russia. None of that is reflected there. Now, Joe Biden states that his income was $356,000 last year, and he paid X amount in taxes. Lie. $900,000 was given to him for a consulting fee that he never recorded. As well as, probably, that's what we knew some time ago when Hunter was still on the Burisma board. We could see those things because we've seen the tax records, we've seen the payments and the ledgers. So we can see that Joe Biden was paid through this company that Devin Archer started, which, of course, Hunter Biden was on, $900,000 for getting the Burisma deal. Well, then do you think for 1 second that Joe Biden didn't get a piece of the $1.5 billion Chinese deal? You're out of your mind if you think that. Blue Star Strategies. Anyone who wanted a piece of the White House had to go through this consulting company, which was ran by Joe Biden's relative. And his brother James got a huge contract in Iraq building houses, though James has no experience building houses. His sister got a huge contract in another country. So every country that Joe was involved in, and he was limited. Joe was only allowed to be active in a few countries. And that was because Obama was allowing Joe to get his piece of the pie through Blue Strategies. And of course Obama knew this. Of course Obama knew this. He would have had to approve of them. As a matter of fact, we know that it was approved, because the State Department, not only now is it coming out, but we busted it when it came out to begin with. The State Department came out with testimony that was released in the IG report that was not redacted, that was not blacked out. So basically, the investigations that we have already seen the evidence on, and we already knew these things were going on because the State Department had already said this was a conflict of interest. They had done a huge response, and Biden said, go jump in a lake. Again and again and again from the State Department and from the Justice Department, everyone told Biden, this is illegal. And what did he do? Nothing, because he had watched Hillary Clinton with her agreement with the White House that she was not going to take emolument funds from certain countries without telling the White House, and she still did. So she took money from everybody as she passed out the U.S. aid through the Secretary of State Department, gave out weapons to the Department of Justice to different countries, and got her payments, some say as much as $20 billion in the Clinton Foundation funds. That's what Jonathan Weiner, her chief counselor in the seventh floor of the State Department, said when he left. He quit, and then he came out and he made these statements. Those were his alibis, but he clearly stated that, oh no, this was the way it was. APCO was the company that was actually doing all the work for her, and they did it all for free, and that it was all under the table, and everyone on the seventh floor knew this, and Joe Biden saw that, and he said, I'm getting my piece of the pie. And as we know, with the CIA, they were part of the two color revolutions that George Soros was also helping the CIA with in Ukraine, and the overthrow of the president, who was duly elected twice. And both times, there were color revolutions that got him kicked out of office. Well, that's the expertise of George Soros' color revolutions, and that is what's happening here. The election will be contested, just like the last one was contested, and then it will go to the streets, and then social media and non-government organizations and people who are being paid to go out and kill, to maim, to riot, to burn, to destroy, those people are being paid by George Soros. We've had these operatives come and literally spill the guts, tell us exactly where to go, how to get paid by George Soros. And if you're willing to be violent and you can get it filmed, then you get more money. That's why they're in masks, folks. So if they can say, that's me in that mask right there, they get more money when they destroy things. And this is coming through non-government organizations, 501c3s, that are tax exempt. This is the most astounding corruption that we're seeing. That's why Biden and the far left are so insane about this. And remember, when this was unbelievable, this is unbelievable. They tried to trap Trump by saying, will you have a peaceful transfer of power if you lose? And Trump said, there wasn't one between Obama and me. There still wasn't. There, even during there was election meddling, there was attacks on me, even when I was transferring to be the president. As soon as I was elected, that the FISA warrants continued. And the big thing that I stated back in the beginning, and this no one knew, and this is simply because I know this from the inside, they didn't need the FISA warrants. I've told everybody this 1,000 times.
I was just going to remind you of this. This is so important because you said this all along, and finally it's coming out.
The FISA warrants were not needed because Comey had never pulled one on anybody, international or national. He had violated all the FISA rules. So why did they have it? It was an insurance policy in case they got caught, but they didn't think they'd get caught. So how did Comey do it? He did it through national security letters. And that's why the people handling the FISA court research, there's a name for it, but they did the research, which they didn't do. They didn't have to do the research because there were already national security letters in place that overrode that. So with the people looking, and they've testified this again and again, including the people who signed it, including Rosenstein and McCabe and Bionta and Sally Yates, they all said the same thing. Well, we were ordered from above to expedite this because it had already been cleared from the top. So they actually used the FISA warrant as a complete fake, but it was used to continue to spy on Trump after he was elected. But the whole crossfire hurricane was completely through national security letters that Comey wrote and through an illegal counterintelligence started by Brennan and through illegal activities of spying by Clapper. So you have the entire intelligence committee, you have the major leaders, the intelligence groups involved on this, and they all admitted it. So had we paid attention when it happened, those people should have been prosecuted on the spot instead of waiting till now to hear supposedly secret information coming out that, you know, was hidden and illegally hidden from even the people who were supposed to know.
Okay, let's back up a bit. Let's talk about this transition of power. This is huge. So you see, what we're saying is that Trump did not receive this transition of power that's supposed to be easy. And we've always bragged about how wonderful it is in America that the presidents transition power so easily. Of course, if you look at the bigger picture, you'll see that all these presidents are just players for the Pilgrim Society. So, of course, the transitions are smooth. But this transition was not smooth because Donald Trump is not one of them. And so what we've seen for the last 4 years is a hard coup against our president trying to assume the first day of his first term, which he still has not done. I mean, when you look back at Inauguration Day, who is there holding the Bible but SCOTUS John Roberts? And he is so compromised. He's actually an agent for the Knights of Malta for the Pilgrim Society. I mean, it's horrific. So Trump is surrounded by all of these enemies. You can't say that his first term has begun yet. And that's what we are going to demand once the election is over and the coup is put down and these traitors are seen who they are. At that point, we're going to ask a decent, clean justice, maybe that'll be Amy Coney Barrett, to hold the Bible and have Trump give his oath of office for the first day of his first term.
That's right. And everyone who testified against Trump during the impeachment, who was ordered not to, if they're military, that is called mutiny, and that is treason.
Those generals need to be executed.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
Immediately go and stand in front of a military tribunal. And I don't want to hear from them again because they need to be, I don't know what they do. They'll put them in Gitmo or they'll execute them. These generals tried to overthrow the United States of America. Do you know where that would have left us citizens? It certainly was not an action of generals who want to protect Americans. It was one who were more concerned about the British Imperial Empire continuing their takeover of the United States.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman defied a direct order from the president to testify. And what he testified were lies. So therefore, it's beyond the worst thing that he could do as a military person. And he insisted on wearing his uniform, though he wasn't really in a position to do so. And his brother, his twin brother, was the man who fed Eric Cherumella, the whistleblower, the fake whistleblower, for the entire impeachment. So when we're talking about the impeachment, this is part of the coup. Everyone who testified and everyone who, for instance, Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi, they all knew the truth, because they saw the documents. So they all were part of the coup too. So at this point, when Trump gets reelected, if he wanted to, he could simply set up a commission, a military commission, to go after those who attempted this military coup. And then he could take over the investigation, give it to the military. They could demand the records from the FBI. And if they don't give them, then they can storm the FBI and take them. They can go to the CIA and get the records. And of course, we see, you know, they throw away the phones. They get rid of the records. They have an IG come in and investigate to say everything's fine. Nope, the records are still there, folks. And if the military goes in and seizes them, or else if people who are senior executive service members refuse to cooperate, then they will be arrested also. We are at that point, and you got to see it with Biden. Here is a man who, well, we already have the evidence on him of his astounding treason and being a war actor against America while he was the vice president. This is a fact. And he killed lots of people. Remember, he and Obama dropped bombs, more bombs than any president has ever dropped in history. And to kill who? People who were in countries, supposedly, these are, well, they weren't supposedly. They were Muslims, but supposedly they were going after, you know, the Arab Spring and these imaginary people who they were actually. Remember, Obama paid for ISIS. That means Joe Biden paid for ISIS. Okay, let's get real clear. Trump had to come out and smash them because this is a war. And if he doesn't win, we all lose.